Andrew Horan, and welcome to this Shop Eat Surf podcast with Hydro Flask GM, Scott Allen. If you're like me, you can't help but notice how Hydro Flask has become predominant at core retail and beyond. It's soared to the top of its category at outdoor and natural foods retailers as well. And that status earned it recognition as a leadership brand by its parent company. Hydro Flask's growth has helped drive double-digit increases for its division in its last two quarters, and it keeps on rolling out five new product lines in late July for release in the fall and spring. So I dropped in on Scott at his Bend, Oregon headquarters in early August to hear how the company's motto, saving the world from lukewarm, plays out in every aspect of its business. Scott and I talked about Hydro Flask's growth, its approach to products and marketing, Scott's advice for other young brands, and how the company is a perfect outgrowth of the young, outdoorsy Bend lifestyle. Here's our conversation.
Hello, and thank you. And please introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Scott Allen. I'm the general manager of Hydro Flask.
And it's great for you to host us here today. So we're here to talk about how well you're performing your company, but also how well you're performing for your parent company and how they're rewarding you for that. So let's talk about that. Let's talk a little about your performance and what's driving it.
Yeah, so kind of two parts to that, and just the recognition now that we're part of a larger, you know, company. It's been great. We tend to hire really driven people, so that tend to finish their project and dive right into the next thing. So some of the recognition we've received from our parent has caused us to stop and you know, celebrate. So something that we can always use a little bit more of. Last year was a good year for our brand. It was the year that a lot of the things that we had invested in prior years really began to show up, be it product, you know, the right kind of distribution partners, and they're leading into the brand. Some of the things that were happening from an activation and kind of regional marketing standpoint. So great outcome for our team and for our brand overall.
Do you want to talk about some of those seeds that you planted a year ago and how they paid off for you this year?
Yeah, there are some things, you know, speaking just to last year in product. So we were the first to come in and take this concept of a vacuum insulation, which was primarily for, you know, grandpa's thermos and job sites. And so it keeps your coffee hot when you're camping or hunting, and put that into kind of a lifestyle everyday sport bottle. And that was really, you know, breakthrough type of product back in 2009, 2010. There was a lot of kind of take up from a very grassroots and viral standpoint. As we began to build out distribution, build a brand around that, you know, some of the things that were the original designs and early stage colors, it was time for an evolution. So, you know, product team did a great job evolving products. We learned a lot about where products did well, where they didn't. Once you had a couple years of seeing them in use, like an everyday use. And we took that to heart. We learned a lot more about what our brand stood for, kind of how we should show up in product. Our product team then took that, worked with our operation team to come up with much better designs, just kind of a quality of the experience of carrying the product, the reliability, the quality of build, et cetera. So all that showed up in the marketplace last year, and the response was very good.
And so talk about that in particular when you say, you know, the use of the products and where they were. How did that shape? Did it bring you those new colorways, new textures, new shapes, all of that, and new distribution as well?
Yeah, it was a combination. For the product side, yeah, the colors were probably a 3 or 4 year old palette, and they went back to, you know, two co-founders that were boyfriend, girlfriend at the time. And so we talk about how the brand's really a brand that includes, you know, both men and women. It's kind of one that crosses over both genders and has a broader base of appeal. Because if you think about it, I mean, how would a boyfriend, girlfriend agree on color palette, right? They agree to disagree, and they would come up with a broader color palette. And so as a result, we have colors that tend to, you know, pull stronger for men and colors that pull stronger for women. That was kind of built into it. But it just was time for an evolution. So we kept kind of the breadth of the color palette and just refreshed it. When we looked at some of the cap designs that the founders had found, they were, you know, kind of the standard. They were just kind of the typical water bottle caps. So they didn't really fit the rest of the quality of the experience, you know, keeping things cold all day, keeping things hot, that the cap itself became the kind of Achilles heel in our mind, that it didn't live up to that promise of what the brand should deliver. So that's when we began to look at, you know, how are people carrying the products? How can we build something that really lasts? You know, people would buy the product to be with them every day, to keep them hydrated, to keep them on the go, and expected a lot. We wanted to expect a lot from our brand and our product. So, you know, quality lugs, quality materials on the strap, easier to carry. You know, you're busy, you're getting out of your car, you got a million things you got to bring in. Hooking the bottle with a pinky, that's what's still comfortable and so forth. Just things that we observe from our customers.
Right.
So, yeah, it was something we're really proud of for how that played out last year. As far as distribution, you know, when the company started, it was certainly in the, you know, sell at the Portland Saturday Market, sell it at fairs and festivals. Anybody that would carry the brand was validation. You know, it was the early days of make payroll and just keep growing the business and building that awareness. As we begin to shift towards, hey, this is something that, you know, is really best aimed at, you know, creating a brand. And brands are much more selective about where they distribute, where they show up. We couldn't just sell through any channel and anybody that would want to sell a water bottle. So we spent a lot of time narrowing our channels. And as a result, those that we partnered with in outdoor, action sports, natural foods, and so forth, they respected that. You know, they lean into the brands that lean into their channels and recognize the importance of those channels. So partnerships we've been building for the last couple of years, yeah, that became something that was important for us. And giving them the tools, be it fixtures, signage, other kind of things at point of sale that help them tell the story, help them convey the lifestyle and some of the excitement around our brand. You know, we saw that as part of our investment. And we're pleased to see some of that hit the market last year.
And so then we talked about, or we're talking a little about the growth, and it's been significant. And I've noticed in your quarterlies and in the annual that you're, if not the leader, certainly one of the leaders for the entire company and driving their growth. And we said, you know, they have named you one of their leadership brands. What does that mean for you to be in that position and be recognized that way within the company?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's great to have the recognition. It's great to feel welcomed by the parent company. You know, in their definition, those leadership brands, that really means market leadership. And so the position we have as the number one water bottle brand by dollars in outdoor and sporting goods as well as natural foods is something that they, you know, they respect. They have other brands that have those types of positions in their channels and in their categories. And they tend to, you know, get excited obviously about that type of result.
Late last month, you rolled out by my count five, maybe it was six new products. It seemed like it was timed around the OR week. And I'm really curious and learning a lot about that from the idea of rolling out six products, new at once, seemingly, to the whole planning process and then how you execute on that and make sure you keep all those trains running and keeping the business going the same way.
Yeah, and so you're referring to our wine products, which is our fall 2017 release. Those are now shipping, as well as our announcements around some of our spring 18 products. So there was Oasis, which is kind of a large group hydration type of jug, if you will. There were kids products, so we'll talk about some of the origins of that. There were some apparel programs that we come up with. And then kind of the higher end of our soft goods offering is our Unbound, which is our, you know, insulated soft cooler, both in a tote and kind of innovative pack form factor. So they were in, you know, have different kind of lead times in terms of time to market. They hit the market at different times between, you know, today and next spring. So It's something that's been in the works in various degrees, but I think for the core for all of it is, you know, each of the products kind of follows the pull of the market and our consumer. It's still very much focused on, you know, what our brand is, some of the core tenets around insulation and temperature regulation or sweat free, and I'll talk about some of the linkage to that. And then the channels around kind of premium, specialty, outdoor, action sports, sporting goods, natural foods, some coffee, some brewery. So the wine product in particular looks like a new direction. It's actually very much consistent. It's very similar to when our founder in 2011 invented the double wall vacuum insulated beer growler. It got a lot of coverage from like the guy gift, like right. The person has it all, like they don't have this kind of thing. And it appealed to some of the microbreweries. We sold some through breweries like Stone and Deschutes Brewery here, but it scaled best in the core outdoor channel because they were, you know, very familiar with curating and selling premium outdoor gear, be it, you know, gear that keeps your beer cold, or lifestyle, or, you know, tents and headlamps and so forth. So that was that. It was very consistent with our brand and the kind of Ben lifestyle, where our products were oriented towards hydration. So you'd be, you know, out on the trails in the afternoon, you need to hydrate up, or you're up on the mountain, you get back and you want to, you know, rehydrate, but you may also want to crack open a growler and share some IPAs with your friends. So there's certainly been a contingency saying, well, you know, we'd like that experience with wine. So our wine product is around that same group experience, but more chilled white wine, rosé, music festival, barbecue, picnic, that type of thing. The tumblers, the wine tumblers, would be about that sharing. So that's the wine product. Still aimed at our kind of core, you know, outdoors lifestyle product and natural foods channels.
So hit the pause button for a second, not literally, but in your descriptions, and talk about then how you create a product that communicates that, which is separate from a growler and separate from a hydration and your other tumblers.
Yeah, so it has a slightly different look. I mean, first off, it fully fits a 750 milliliter bottle of wine. So our prior products that were 24 ounces didn't quite get there. You know, so it's intended to fit that. It has a slightly different look, a little bit more premium look. It has a rubber bumper on the bottom, so it kind of gives it a non-skid type of feel. Some consumers believe that that is a stealth thing. So if they're kind of bringing wine in and maybe, you know, that's not what they want the world to know, it doesn't clank, you know, when they set it down and so forth. And then just the tumblers look like stemless, you know, wine glasses. So you can very much picture them at a picnic and, you know, pouring it out and really kind of enjoying that experience, very much like the growler and our True Pints would be the same experience of, you know, sharing and pouring that out. Beer still cold. Same here. The wine, you know, maintains that perfect temperature without the need to bring a cooler. So you can just take the bottle and some of the tumblers in a bag and you're good to go.
Excellent. Okay. And then you were going to start talking about the others. For instance, the kids and the...
Yeah. And kids is something very much an extension of how our products kind of work their way into a family. So a very typical type of experience would be mom finds Hydro Flask at a Bikram yoga studio because that's what the instructor has, maybe a 40-ounce, and the instructor's water is still icy cold in a hot yoga. Mom's is not. So she figures out that's a Hydro Flask, gets one, likes the product, you know, make sure her husband doesn't steal her Hydro Flask, gets his own Hydro Flask, gets the teenage kids and all that Hydro Flask. The youngest child, you know, is not really a product for them. So we've heard from moms, it's like, when do we get, you know, really a kid's product, something aimed at that, you know, 5 to 8 year old or 4 to 8 year old type of child. So that's something we came out with, you know, put the bumper on the bottom or the boot on the bottom, put the kind of color caps, make it kind of fun. That's something that we're excited about and kind of giving moms the product that they've been wanting for quite some time. And then likewise, as we moved into the whole soft goods side, you know, there's an apparel element. And just like the rest of our products, there's a tie-in to our brand. So yes, it's kind of branded apparel, but there's a story to it. There's a technical story. Just like our products, you know, double wall insulation, you can put it in your bag. It doesn't sweat, doesn't get your laptop wet and your, you know, the rest of your papers wet. The t-shirt products that we're coming up with, they're multi-layered. So it's got, we call hydro-free. It's got polyester on the inside. It's got a soft cotton on the outside. So it wicks, it pulls the moisture away. So you kind of sweat gets off your body. You kind of position it as the shirt that might be perfect for after you've had enough sun and playing beach volleyball, all the way out to your concert, your favorite concert tee, kind of filling that gap. And then that's kind of the beginning of our soft goods program. Really at the high end is our Unbound soft cooler pack. So that's something we've been looking at, that core tenant of, you know, keeping things at the right temperature and building upon our expertise of, you know, making it comfortable to carry and making it something that you would want to carry with you all day long, not big and clunky. So we did a lot of work around how do we slender up, you know, a soft cooler so it's not too bulky to carry, and then how do we not give up on the performance of it? How do we come up with a clean aesthetic that kind of fits the look and feel of Hydro Flask overall? And then what are the different ways in which we envision people would carry it? So the tote is certainly something. But the backpack was something else, that there's times when you're kind of carrying everything out to the car, to the beach or what have you. You really want to keep your hands free. There's other things you want to carry besides a soft cooler. So the pack design is something that we innovated and just recently brought to market.
So I'm curious how you manage that process, keep the products on track for delivery and meeting your goals in both the product technically and the aesthetic of it, as well as then making your goal at retail with it.
Yeah. So you're asking if we've solved the problem that every company is challenged by, and not fully. You know, we do it with some additional gray hairs and hard work and process work. We're not an old brand. We're still a young brand. There's, you know, process work we've been investing in to better manage this. And, you know, we think we have a long ways to go on that still, but there's still a lot of things that we are very encouraged by as well in terms of how that process is working for us.
Did you need to staff up? Did you need to, for instance, bring in people that had apparel expertise or people that had, for lack of a better word, tote expertise to design product, or project managers maybe who didn't have the expertise in your line of business but knew how to get something from conception to delivery?
Yeah, it was really a combination. We had a person here at Hydro Flask that had a background at Hurley that did soft goods design at Hurley. You know, was a retail marketing manager, and we hired him out of Whole Foods. So just, you know, a small worlds type of come together. So it was a category we were looking at. He raised his hand and said, I know something about this, and this looks interesting. I like what I do, but this might be an interesting next step for me, you know, in terms of helping Hydro Flask. And I'd say in general, you know, from the last few years, there's certainly been those times where we need certain domain expertise as we grow. And I think part of the trick is just identifying what you need before it becomes too late and too critical.
Right.
So, you know, in some ways we do that pretty well. In some ways we still have opportunities to learn.
What are retailers telling you as you're showing them to them?
Yeah, I'd say, I won't share specifics on the individual products. There's, you know, I think they're pleased with the brand and just what we've done in the water bottle category. And I think we're all looking forward to seeing how the rest plays out. We can speak to some of the awards that we received at the last trade shows that we went to. The Outdoor Friedrichshafen show in Germany was the first place that we unveiled the Unbound, you know, soft coolers. And then we came to Outdoor Retailer Summer Market last month in Salt Lake City. So we were pleasantly surprised to be selected one of four in the kind of luggage and bag category to win an industry award at the Outdoor Friedrichshafen show. So these include, you know, German outdoor gear editors and reviewers, which brings to mind maybe a very critical, you know, person that's sure, very oriented around quality and immediately got what the product was about and what it did from the, you know, fully taped design, the waterproof zippers, the care, the dry storage, and actually had a very, you know, due to dietary restriction, had a very personal application. It actually showed, you know, his glass Tupperware he carries around with his, you know, salads and stuff because he can't eat what's at the exhibit hall, you know, based upon dietary restrictions, and he can't keep it cold. So he was, he's like, you invented this for me. And it wasn't obviously the one use case that we were looking at, but he kind of got it. Then we came to OR Summer Market. So Outside Magazine gave us a Best Gear of the Show award, you know, one of six or seven that they gave. Carryology gave us a Rising Star Carry Award, which we're very proud about. And they kind of recognize we're new to the category, hence the Rising Star. The Manual gave us Best of Show Award. And on the fourth day, OR Show Daily gave us an editor's pick, all for the kind of pack design. And it comes back to kind of the Hydro Flask way. So looking at a category, there are other products on the market, and, you know, thinking about how do we show up and what are the ways in which our brand can come in and be identified and solve a problem uniquely, and the pack just did that.
We'll take a short break and be right back with more of my conversation with Hydro Flask GM Scott Allen. So you've touched on something that's pretty interesting. I think in the time as the company's evolved, you mentioned you were the first to introduce the vacuum seal idea to a lifestyle product. There have been many other competitors come in and join the marketplace, right? It's a pretty crowded marketplace now. So how do you see that, and how do you try to stay ahead of it? What's your guiding light to that? What do you tell your charges about?
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to things that we get the benefit of being part of a bigger company. So the leadership brands that we talked about earlier all come with the same responsibility and questions, which is, right, we cannot take, markets are dynamic. you can't take market share, market leadership for granted, right? So it's kind of a bit of healthy paranoia, if you will. And so the questions are, okay, what are you doing to innovate? What are you doing to better serve the consumer? You know, what are you doing to, you know, maintain or extend your lead? It's a full-time job, you know, and certainly with more people coming into the category now that it is a larger, more visible category, it comes really down to brand. And the way we've intentionally built this business and this brand is to stand for something around, you know, helping people be better. And as we learn more about our consumer and the relationship with the brand, it's around their desire to be outside more, to be active, to be healthy, to stay hydrated, to eat better, to you know, do things that are better for the planet that they can feel good about in terms of reusable and quality, you know, buying a product that lasts instead of buying a product, being disappointed, throwing it away, landfill, go buy another product. So that's really what our brand's about. And there's other elements of it in terms of charitable giving and the lifestyle that we represent and where we offer our products. And it's not for everybody. So it really comes down to kind of consumers and brands and where they line up. And so that's how we see it. It's our brands for certain consumers. You know, other brands are coming in and they're representing different things at times. That's how it'll play out.
Who do you think of as that consumer? Do you have a profile or a series of profiles of that consumer and in mind?
Yeah, we have a few that we've been able to build in working with the Outdoor Industry Association. They've done some consumer segmentation. And it's not necessarily, it's interesting coming from our roots, right, in Bend, Oregon, in the outdoor industry. I think some of the classic outdoor, you know, iconic brands, the imagery is around that lone person finishing up, you know, the huge effort to get there and bag the top on a solo, conquer the environment type of imagery. And that's certainly not our brand. So our brand is, you know, the group of people, the trailhead, you know, laughing, smiling, enjoying being together, having just had a great hike, your dogs, kids, it's that. It certainly can get, you know, sweaty and intense and all this, but it's not that. It's not exclusively that. So it's a bit more balanced, you know, healthy, communal, hydrated, good for the environment, kind of a healthy outdoor lifestyle. And it's certainly evolved, right? So we have that lifestyle here in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, somehow beer taps into it and coffee, right? So happiness is part of health and so forth. But it isn't limited to our version and flavor style of the outdoors. And we've talked in our last conversation around, you know, as the brand, which has some roots that go back to Hawaii, you know, really took hold in Hawaii, their version of the outdoors is how they lived and expressed their connection to being active, their connection to being, you know, in nature. And then obviously their need when they're on the go to stay hydrated, to stay refreshed, and their reliance kind of link back to Hydro Flask is this is a brand that does that for me. So that's how we see it. It's interesting in that it's male and female, as I mentioned, it spans, you know, generations. We've had buyers come up to us at trade shows and say, what is up with your brand? And we'll say, what do you mean? He said, my kids are like obsessed. Like it's crazy. You know, whatever you've done, like, you know, tell me your secrets. And we have a laugh. But there's something about it. You know, it resonates also with the youth. And that's great. You know, if they can stay hydrated, they could stay more towards reusable quality products. Hey, maybe we're training the next generation.
You mentioned Hawaii, and we did talk about that the last time. Talk a little about that discovery story there for people who maybe wouldn't have read it before, because it's a great story of serendipity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it goes back to a bit of the origin story, because the founders, the boyfriend and girlfriend that started Hydro Flask, right beforehand, they had just sold a sign and banner business that they owned together in Hawaii. So they had lived in Hawaii. They had a business in Hawaii. Travis, one of the co-founders, had lived in Bend before and had a business here, and so we wanted to move back to Bend. So there's some kind of Bend to Hawaii linkage with our brand. And we, you know, again, we were a small company. We're growing, just managing the growth here in Bend, you know, very much with a view of what our consumers do that was driven by how we use our products, you know, almost to a fault. And so when the sales started to really take off in Hawaii, it caused us to ponder, because it's not a giant place with a huge population. So it almost didn't make sense. So we sent a few of our leadership team over to go around the islands to meet with some of the resellers and just find out, you know, what was happening, who was buying the product and how they're using the product. It was really eye-opening. in that, yeah, we saw a lot of affinity for our brand. We saw that people were on the go. It opened up our eyes to, yeah, what the definition of outdoors, and it wasn't for us to say you only recreate this way. It has to be a Cascade Mountain with a lake, and you know that doesn't make sense to consumers. They could relate to the brand, and see how it, you know, could impact their life. So, and we learned a lot. We saw aftermarket accessories that were being built onto our products that were really supplementing some of the things that our original cap designs didn't do a good job of. And that caused our head of product was there, caused us to stop and say, okay, the market has spoken. You know, the consumers are telling us what's not right and what they would like. And from that came the inspiration for our flex cap. You know, give people the ability to carry a product differently, give them something that's going to last from a quality standpoint, and ultimately give them the ability to personalize and come up with different colors and make it theirs, which was some of the early inspiration for the My Hydro program that we launched last year.
And did that also open up Surf as a retail distribution channel for you as well?
Yeah, it was happening. You know, it was something that I think being in Bend, Oregon, the founders, beyond selling it at fairs and festivals, and as the product got out through word of mouth, outdoor reps came across the brand and said, you know, hey, their outdoor retailers sell water bottles. It's not a very exciting category, not a lot of innovation. You know, the biggest thing that happened was that whole BPA recall, but the bottles just basically were something you'd use when you're camping. And, you know, that was about it because they wouldn't keep things cold for very long. So they saw an opportunity in that they tend to work in networks. So they might know the rest of the country's national representatives for a certain brand. And so as a founder began to sign on some outdoor reps, it included someone in Hawaii. And so in 2013, they were opening Surf. They were getting some of, you know, the consumers to be excited about Hydro Flask. It was starting to pick up, and that attracted some of the core action sports retailers in Hawaii. And that began our relationships with the understandings. Like, there isn't, you know, an REI type store in Hawaii. Action Sports is that retailer that represents that lifestyle, represents curated brands that speak to that consumer. And it kind of put us into that market and opened our eyes, and we began to embrace that.
And that was hard to believe just 4 short years ago. And fast forward to earlier this year, Tiffany was in Hawaii and saw your product literally everywhere. And by that, I mean in people's hands everywhere, but also in all kinds of retail. Obviously, that's intentional. How far can that go? And is there a too far in your mind?
Yeah, I think for any growing brand, there's a risk of, you know, that growth and over distribution and so forth. For us, because we're a bit broader in that positioning, you know, that for us the anchor could be outdoor or, you know, related kind of sports, but the lifestyle means that the same, you know, consumer is shopping probably at a natural grocery store, be it Down to Earth in Hawaii or Whole Foods. They might be going to Kona Brewing or Maui Brewing Company. They might be going to a local coffee roaster and so forth, just their day. You know, that's kind of the brand world that we've created. So, yeah, we've kind of built out distribution around that. And as we look at markets where we have more mature distribution, yeah, we spend a lot of time saying no to people. You know, even those that come in and say, hey, I'm creating a great new, you know, outdoor, you know, core outdoor type retail here in this town of Montana. And we look, so we've already got pretty good coverage there. You know, we have a commitment that's been made to the specialty retail as they have invested in our brand, and we want to respect that. So we tend to say no a lot as a result of that, because yeah, it is about finding that right balance overall as a brand.
So maybe you could walk a little bit through your own online direct program and then let's kind of then transition off and talk about the retailers.
Yeah, sure. So there's our hydroflask.com, which is an important element to, you know, where we tell our brand stories, where we talk about partnerships like World Surf League or REI's Outtessa event we're doing, or Deschutes Brewery Street Pub event. But it's also a place where we can experiment and test things. So My Hydro is an example where consumers can go on, you know, pick a bottle, pick the boot, pick the cap, pick the strap, all different colors, and then have it configured to order and ship to them. So there's hundreds of thousands of combinations, and there's an assembly step that's you know, a little tricky. And so not something that's really viable at scale at retail, but something that we can certainly see, okay, where are the patterns? You know, of all these combinations, there tend to be, you know, the 80-20 rule where some of these are really popular. So that's one of the things that we've introduced as part of our Spring 18 program is, you know, four color boots, different kind of color caps that can be sold as accessories. So, you know, consumers or channels that are selling Hydro Flask have the ability to help their customers upgrade and customize products they already have, or do it there in the store by picking these as accessories to change them out and give it their own kind of look and feel. So an important element for our ability to work with the consumers, test new concepts before bringing it out into the wholesale channels. And I just talked to our event team, and they just got back from the U.S. Open. And they were doing it for fun in the field, where if you had a Hydro Flask, you can walk up and you can change out and pick a different color cap and strap. I think they're pretty worn out. They had a certain amount in mind. They did like 5 or 10 times that. We had to like keep replenishing them, and they looked pretty exhausted. So they're kind of like, yeah, this isn't something you'd want to be doing at a large, you know, mass at that level, because in the end of the day, those lugs are really intended to be durable. So they're not really easy. You know, they're factory tooling and stuff like that, and jigs and fixtures to get it done. But yeah, to do it at a large scale would be kind of a challenge. But we can offer it as pre-configured popular color combination that still could mix with different color bottles and create a lot of different combinations. So you really get to what you want at the end of the day, which is, you know, in a household where everyone's got a Hydro Flask, you want people to recognize that that's your Hydro Flask, and you can recognize that's your Hydro Flask, and that's something that we respect.
And talk about, you know, before we got on air here, you gave me a tour, and you made a point of telling me that the fulfillment for that is a pretty special program in Portland. Can you kind of walk through that a little bit?
Yeah, so we were looking at where are we going to do this, and we have a team in Portland where our 3PL warehouse is based, and the team there operates laser engraving machines where we do customization like our World Surf League collab bottles that are out now. They manage printing partners, and then locally there's an organization called Portland Habilitation Center, which had done some work for us, like if we wanted to repackage, you know, existing product that would go to the floor and be a couple of days worth of work. You know, they hire people that would have a difficult time finding employment due to mild disabilities and so forth. And one of our executives had a relationship with the president of that company. They'd worked together before. They were right down the road. It was almost too good to be true. They bid on the business. They said, this is something we can do more than just odd jobs for you. We can kind of be baked into your long-term plans. So timing was great. We launched My Hydro. So when you pick that configuration, that's where it goes for assembly. It goes to Portland Habilitation Center. So really proud of like the impact on the community that decision's making. We don't do it to impress people on the outside. We can probably do a better job of talking about some of that. We're talking more about Parks for All. So we've been had a charitable giving element to our business from when the business was started. It's just recently we've redirected that towards Parks for All and a kind of program we feel, you know, we can own that tied into the brand, you know, public spaces, be it a beach, be it a mountain, be it an urban park environment, you know, play a really important role in society of getting people out and healthy and active in a way that's accessible to them. So we saw it as logical for us to say, okay, great, with the, you know, success of Hydro Flask, we're going to give back to these types of organizations that create or maintain these parks. So with our Parks for All program, as we're getting better at kind of marketing that, we just announced at Outdoor Retailer, 160,000 went to four organizations. And it's really neat how we have a selection committee here. So it's a great chance for our people to kind of get connected to how we give back in the community. And they picked four that represent kind of the breadth of, you know, our consumers and where they are and what they do. One was a river adventure park in Providence, Rhode Island, aimed at kind of a disadvantaged, you know, neighborhood. And it's got like two pump tracks and a parkour course. Sounds really cool. You look at the plans online. So that was one. National Parks Foundation Open Outdoor for Kids program, which will get 5,000 children into national parks, you know, many for the first time, to kind of expose them to that. A little closer to home, the California State Park Foundation's Park Champions Volunteer Program. So for a lot of the state parks that might be underfunded in terms of having projects and maintenance backlogs, and when volunteers, you know, connecting volunteers to those efforts. And then lastly, with Nakama Kai in Hawaii for the cleanup and stewardship of beaches in Oahu.
That's fantastic. After a short break, we'll be back with the end of my conversation with Hydro Flask GM Scott Allen. Talk about consumers being everywhere, and one place they are is online. How do you manage that reseller business there? Is it an issue for you, the marketplace, the Amazon marketplace, and what's your position there?
Yeah, we're pleased with how we're represented in the marketplace. And you know, recently Nike just made big news by engaging with Amazon, you know, for the first time. And I think for brands, big or small, you need an Amazon strategy, right? So the recent statistics I came across, I think around 60% of households now have Prime memberships. Amazon got nearly 40 cents out of every dollar spent online during the holidays, either directly or through Fulfilled by Amazon type services. So if you're not paying attention, you're probably not going to like the way your brand's showing up on the marketplace. And so for the last couple of years, as we've, you know, leaned into specialty retail and how our brand shows up in specialty retail, we had to also take a close look at how we're showing up in online marketplaces. So we, you know, let go of some resellers that, you know, could not position our brand as a premium brand on the marketplace. We've, you know, gone through some of that effort, and now we're happy with how we're showing up really as a premium brand on the marketplace. And it's, you know, back to your earlier question that there's other competitors, there's other, you know, bottle brands, there's other, and Hydro Flask really isn't, it's around this premium experience, around this more exuberant, you know, better life. It's really not about, you know, a discount and, you know, sub-premium brand. It's really about a premium brand. So yeah, Amazon, it's kind of like market leadership. It's dynamic. It's not something you just do once and you're done. It's really an ongoing effort that goes into that.
So there's kind of an inherent conflict. How are you able to police that? And then are you also directly selling to Amazon?
Yeah, and we sell through a third party that does the Fulfilled by Amazon. And you know, so our belief is really give the consumer choices. That's what it's all about. If it's, you know, here's, I choose to buy where I'm shopping for my food. I choose to buy at where I'm buying my surfboard and you know, related apparel. Or I choose to buy online because of the convenience of it's, you know, there in 2 days and I don't need to go to retail and I won't be able to for the next few days. Then you give the consumer choice on that. But then each competes on a value proposition around convenience or curated experiences and you know, telling the story. So for our soft cooler pack, telling the story of, you know, how it was built, how it was constructed, the whole feel around the product, you know, there's clearly going to be an application for that. And that's where specialty retail do well. You know, in the future, if I want to buy my third pack and gift it and send it someone, and it's just easier to buy it online and send it, sure, then that's a choice that we want to make sure consumers have. We see our, you know, especially retailers trying to build their online presence. Certainly, Amazon is winning in lots of areas, and we're not ignoring that. And then we kind of see our direct to consumer as part of the whole ecosystem. But at the end of the day, it's really around, you know, how does the brand show up consistently across all of those channels, and how does it best serve the consumer so that when they choose a certain type of experience and then to buy through that experience, we're showing up properly in all those channels.
You mentioned before the engraving for WSL. Talk a little bit about that program, how that came about and what you hope to see come to fruition from that.
Yeah. So we it's interesting when we sat down with the WSL as part of this, you know, this 2016, our marketing plans, and we wanted to look across the different channels and the different regions in which the brand was you know, being received favorably. And so from the kind of Hawaii and Southern California and action sports side, we approached the World Surf League. And it was interesting because the first thing they did is recognize, hey, you know, a lot of our athletes are already fans of Hydro Flask. In fact, we're a lot of fans of Hydro Flask. We've seen your brand in Hawaii. The athletes already like your brand. And so that was something that was encouraging as we sat down and said, you know, the best kind of partnerships come out of that natural affinity that's already there instead of something you're forcing, you know, where it's not really there and you're forcing people to move away from what they would naturally do. So that was encouraging. Our expectations are really, you know, just kind of showing up where we already are, showing up where we have athletes, showing up on the beaches where we have fans. And engaging with them and supporting kind of a great sport that we're fans of and so forth. And it's not limited to that. I mean, your other partners like REI and Outessa, three events that are women's only events, trying to encourage, you know, higher visibility and profiles for empowering women to get outside and support each other and be happy and healthy and active. Great event for us. Deschutes Brewery Street Pub, as they go around and expose cities like Roanoke, Virginia, or Milwaukee, Wisconsin to great Oregon beer. I think their motto is to make damn tasty beer or something like that's their purpose. We're alongside them. You know, we're there with Engraved Pints that have their Street Pub logo and our name, and we're telling people about the experience of, you know, pouring your beer in a pint and setting it next to a hot barbecue, and, you know, 40 minutes later you still have a cold beer. And that's a kind of new experience for some people that are not yet exposed to our brand. And so those are great partnerships that we're excited about that play to our brand world. And I think allow us to show up in a way that we're really proud to show up.
That's great. I wanted to touch on a couple other surf-related things. When you were giving me the tour, we stopped and looked at the product that you had down at Huntington for the U.S. Open. And it was an autograph product. And you were telling me about some of the event activations you were doing. Could you kind of walk through those again, too? Because they sounded fun, but busy.
Yeah. And, you know, so we have autographed bottles from Coco and Lakey and other athletes that came by. Some hung out in the booth. There was some kind of fun Photoshop life-size images so consumers could be there looking like they're high-fiving. We had the athletes high-fiving themselves in some of the images. So we get this kind of double vision effect. And so we got a few autographed bottles. I think they're going to end their way into some kind of social promotion where those will be given away. But we were really excited to, you know, be there at the event to kind of engage with the community, to have some of the athletes hanging out with us and support, you know, just a wonderful, wonderful event.
All right. My last question for you is sort of where we started. And again, it was before we were on mic here, but you gave me a great tour of the building and you talked about how the building represents the company's mission and how it reflects the company's mission. And I wondered if you could just articulate that mission.
Yeah. And I'd say our current mission and kind of our why, you know, like the Simon Sinek why in a business, it our first one was, I wouldn't want to bring it up because I think we outgrew it and it was embarrassing. So that was that. When we did the brand work, right? As we started to grow, we really started to study our brand and start to set our brand. And then culture became part of that. And so the whole why and purpose question came up. And the answer was obvious because we were already using it when we were engaging with media and so forth. They were getting excited, you know, our beer growler, and we started with water. It's like, you know, what are you guys doing? Like, what motivates you? You guys seem so passionate. Say, well, we're on a mission to save the world from lukewarm. You know, it was lukewarm water. Then it was like lukewarm beer. There was lukewarm coffee and all this stuff. And, you know, now it could be lukewarm Pinot Grigio or what have you. And that was it. It became very simple. I think, you know, something Lucas was using quite a bit, and we stopped and said, wait, that's it. That is what we're doing. Because, you know, to save the world from lukewarm is what we do for consumers, right? Lukewarm is the typical compromise, the average, the, like, you know, wah-wah, this product said it would do this, you bought it, it didn't, it's trash, you throw it away, you're disappointed. You know, it's the settling and compromise that we do way too often, it seems, in our society. So we said we want to break through that, and we do that with our products. But we also notice that we do that in almost everything we do that we say is important. So how we partner with a, you know, key account, how we partner with a factory, how we onboard an employee, how we go off and do our annual retreat, which is classified, right? There might be some interesting stories there. But it's, yeah, just this, we want life to be, you know, vibrant and exciting, just that refreshing, awesome, bold experience that we give to consumers who are products. We want to live that in our culture and how we do things. So when it came to the building two headquarters ago, when I first joined the company, completely lukewarm, right? It was an old furniture showroom. It's now a cider brewery facility, production facility, way more suited for that. So you had non-climate controlled area where people were either freeze to death or overheat. Closed off little creaky offices that created this us and them culture, and even, you know, very difficult to communicate with one another for in offices. And we just wanted to reset that. And we did in our old headquarters, but that was someone else's building. And so it was better fit for us, but it wasn't quite us. And that was a common complaint. People was like, this doesn't feel like our brand. It feels like we're in someone else's brand, you know, and it's not quite us. And it was true because it was Roughwear's old headquarters. So we can build our own headquarters from scratch. It actually became harder than we thought, right? Because we kind of knew what our brand was, but how does it show up in a building? But some of the things that we saw on the tour, you know, are around that. The bike corral, so all the mountain bikes and road bikes that are there so people can ride at lunch, after work, or commute in. The showers, so like Lucas runs pretty mean fast trail, you know, running paces with some of his coworkers at lunchtime. The fire pit. So we've done headlamp rides in the fall, end up back here. It's dark, fire up the fire pit. It's cold, grab a pint, talk about riding through the trees in the dark with, you know, lights on your bike and your headlamp. Just what a great experience that is. So kind of the communal aspects became really important. A couple Oregon beers on tap for after hour celebrations and the roll up garage doors, dog friendly office, and the sense that we're really all one team. You know, that we're all in one building, we're all in an open area, and that we're all going to kind of solve this together, because it ties back into some of our, or the values of exploring together and how we've grown in the business. We really wanted the building to reflect that.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you think we ought to share with the people who will be listening?
Yeah, and I was thinking about that in the context of, you know, I spoke at Agenda last month, and I told the Hydro Flask story, and I told it from the context of my background, which was, you know, I was in Silicon Valley and tech startups for 18 years. And this is the first opportunity I had to kind of marry my passions of outdoor recreation and an outdoor brand. And we learned a lot. And I shared, you know, how tech companies are so successful and growing quickly and how we applied some of that here at Hydro Flask. And it was really about focus. And it's not, and so that's what I was kind of encouraging people to do is you really need to focus. Now is the time to focus. There's a lot of disruption. There's digital, there's threats to traditional channels. So it's really important for retailers and brands to focus, but not focus on what the business, your definition of what the business has been, but really ask the question of what business are we really in from a kind of consumer standpoint and what do we really stand for? And the example I gave was, you know, Hydro Flask, we decided early on that we were not in the water bottle business because it turned out nobody wanted to talk to anybody in the water bottle business anymore. You know, it's kind of like been there, done that. And so we decided we were in the, you know, refreshment experience business, and that's what we were delivering. And that was best, that changed how we approached everything and changed how we reached out to media. Lucas would overnight a bottle filled with ice, and sometimes it might've been filled with margarita or those types of things. During a heat wave in New York, I said, we thought, you know, looking at the weather, it looks pretty brutal. We thought you might need this. If it's been a rough week, you know, here you go, here's your kit. And they got it. You know, people got it. So it wasn't so much about, hey, it's a bottle, but let us show you the experience that we're in. And I think, you know, a lot of brands and retailers are beginning to figure that out, that it's about what business are we in? And it tends to be around an experience and really get good at pursuing that because our future all depends on it.
Great closing words. Thanks so much for hosting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for coming.
All right. Good luck.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks to Hydro Flask GM Scott Allen and his team for hosting me at the company's great Bend, Oregon headquarters for this conversation about Hydro Flask's growth, its approach to products and marketing, and Scott's advice for other young brands. If you'd like to hear more of our Shop, Eat, Surf podcasts, please click on the podcast page at shopeatsurf.com to download or stream other episodes. Recent episodes include Eric John of Laguna Surf and Sport talking with Tiffany Montgomery about why he's optimistic about craft retail and the future of the industry, and Reef President Roger Spatz on restoring brand integrity through disciplined selling, cleaning up third-party online selling, helping bricks and mortar retailers sell better online.